You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Delirious. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct journey. Stadium time is 9:14 p.m. Central Time. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and Truth podcast, harbored by the friendly folks at College at Magnolia.com. Head over there for all your Auburn news. Good afternoon or evening, Orange and Truthers. It's I, Senecro2 on Twitter, coming to you live to tape. You can find me at Senecro on Venmo. The other side of me, via the magic of the internet, the rumor monger, Ryan S. Starrett, the S. Stands for start Robbie Ashford, he says.
Oh, your words, not mine.
No. I don't take sides on the great quarterback debate. The other side of me
should definitely be starting.
The other side of me giving you the full pain ASMR experience. It's the AU chief.
Yo, man.
Now, fellas, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the show with Auburn soccer notes. So the first thing we're going to do is get into that. Last week we had two games. One was another draw against West Virginia. So Auburn now is, I want to say at that point they had three straight
draws. 2-0-0s and that 1-1 in Tallahassee,
which is undefeated. Yep. But
another ranked team. So
yeah. So Auburn continues to move up their own ranks, actually, as well, with a draw against West Virginia. West Virginia took four shots, none on goal. Auburn's defense, really, really good. And Auburn's attack in this game was also really good. For not having any goals, 13 shots, seven of them on goal, just didn't get to the back of the net. And then a win versus the Troops, which I didn't realize this until after the fact, that Army's women's soccer team was honored on the field at Jordan-Hare Stadium during the men's football game?
Of course, you got to respect the Troops.
I found that odd. I don't think I ever remember a opponent team.
Of another team, yeah.
Yes, technically, they are an opponent. Yes, they do play for the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, but like we were playing them in soccer the next day. It was odd. Yeah, it was... I didn't see it during the game, but the Auburn soccer Twitter account posted about it.
It was pretty early, like during the first quarter, I think.
I didn't catch that at all. Yeah. The only thing, well, we'll get into that later.
Did they announce it, or they just go?
It was one of those like, oh, it's a timeout. We're gonna bring one in the field, do like a quick little PA announcement.
Hey, everybody, soccer. Give it up for soccer.
Look, I hardly ever pay attention to those. So
thanks and War Eagle.
Went on and beat him the next day.
Beat him 1-0 the next day. Craven got her a goal. Anna Hannock continues to either score the goals or assist on the goals.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the replay of it, but it was just a nice little corner set up high to where your 6'2" defensive player can just kind of head it in. She's already bigger than most of her opponents that we play, but especially against Army, they were a pretty small team, just like in men's football. So didn't have much trouble with that one.
Yeah, really dispatched the Army pretty easily. Auburn's only allowed one goal all season, but not scoring a ton of goals outside of the one game in which they just
scored all of the goals.
Yeah, 9-0 against them. Looking like Manchester City against Southern Miss. Next week they play a team I had not heard of until just this moment, UMass Lowell. I'm assuming that's in Lowell, Mass.
It is.
Yeah.
Where in Massachusetts is Lowell? Do you have any idea?
Boston area.
Lowell, Mass.
Let's see. I mean, pretty much everything in Massachusetts is Boston area.
Right. It's like
it's not a big state.
The bad guy from like a Ben Affleck movie is probably from there. Went to school there.
Pretty much on the New Hampshire line. While looking at the map right now.
So playing those guys, $5, Ryan. If you can tell me, oh, never mind. You aren't looking, Chief. What's the mascot of UMass Lowell?
A catamount.
No way. I hope so. Ryan, what is it? You got it in front of you?
I'm trying to see for sure. It's some sort of bird. The Warhawks, maybe something like that.
Sure. Some sort of bird. So Auburn takes on some sort of bird at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday. Those games are still free. Go to that. They lost to Georgetown, UMass Lowell, the some sort of bird.
They are the Riverhawks, actually.
Riverhawks. Wow.
It's a fun one.
Riverhawk. And then Sunday. So let's say you go to the game, the football game, Saturday. It's a Saturday evening game. You get up early. You're heading back to Birmingham because you live in Birmingham. Why not stop by Samford at 5 p.m. and watch Auburn play the Bulldogs, the Lady Bulldogs, at 5 o'clock p.m. Birmingham time? That should be an easy win, I think. I don't know. They lost West Virginia already this year in Auburn, and they had a draw against Army.
Bit of round robin action with Army, West Virginia, and Auburn and Samford. Samford, like I said, had that draw on last Thursday with Army, and they played them about as well as Auburn did, just on the wrong side of a 1-1 and 0-1 loss. But not an opponent to be taken lightly. I mean, Samford's usually pretty proud of their soccer programs.
Our War Oogle James is on the podcast. He has his hand up. What's up?
They should certainly not be taken lightly because that's who knocked us out of the NCAA tournament last year.
Bingo.
This is the case. He's right. He is right. Fact boy. Now, the most important thing you guys got to know is that two games are left. Those are the two games that are left before SEC play starts, when things begin to count. This Auburn has a team they really should be proud of and could make a run in conference play, but that starts in a week.
I'd like to see him put a few more goals on the sheet in these two games. Like I said, the defense has been awesome. Matt Brahaska in goal has been excellent, even with the minimal amount of work she's had. I mean, it seems like most games it's two shots on goal, four shots on goal, something like that. But a few more goals would be nice. Maybe play a little more aggressive.
Cool. You got to put the ball in the back of the net. That's the name of the game at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You got to put the ball in the back of the net. Speaking of draws.
Did you see the goal I sent you earlier today? The little bicycle kick?
Is that UC Irvine?
It was one of the UCs. I can't remember who.
Because the girl who...
She did not expect to have made that goal.
No, but the girl on the assist has an unbelievable move.
The Jackrabbits, right?
The Jackrabbits. I think that's right. An unbelievable move to set up her assist. And I thought that was what it was going to be about.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a move.
Long Beach State, by the way.
Kick.
The Snoop Dogs.
Exactly. Exactly. The 6'4s. And if you haven't seen that, we're describing a Instagram video to you. So just, I don't know, be aware of the internet. And I saw it twice today on Twitter. So it's around. I think SportsCenter even. Yeah. SportsCenter, which has decided on Instagram that it doesn't care at all about whether or not it's sports. I don't know when they made that production decision, but it's like, no, we'll just post a kid making a good hot dog.
About the time they started posting a lot of WWE content.
Maybe. Like, it is wild. The SportsCenter Instagram account is
next thing you know, they're 25%
sports.
Next thing you know, they're going to be putting guiding light recaps on their Instagram page.
I'm looking at it right now. This is the content that people pay for. On the SportsCenter Instagram account, I'm looking. We got a guy getting a haircut. That's a pinned tweet. It's the fourth one right now on the Instagram account, by the way. It's the clip we're talking about. This is a picture of a guy getting all of his old fantasy football draft boards out of a closet. Again, that is sports adjacent at best.
Sports entertainment is how they phrase it, Crow.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, watching the looking at this, I'm like, this. These are not highlights. Picture of LeBron James' son in Ohio State uniform because he had an unofficial visit to Ohio State last weekend. Just go ahead and commit, Bronny. Like, what are we doing? All right. You guys ready to keep going? Let's talk about American college football.
Yeah, we're talking about sports adjacent things, so we can go ahead and get into that.
Well, we didn't
want to. Before I want to do that, I want to talk a little about Liverpool Everton.
Oh, yeah.
That was an unbelievable game.
Yeah.
This weekend.
It was amazing. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, almost a win. I think had the penalty been given, had Everton gone up 1-0 and won that game, I don't know if Chief would be on this pod right now.
Oh, my brain would have exploded. I went crazy. Both my kids were screaming with me, which is usually they look at me horrified if I go crazy. But they were both like, back at me. that goal probably should have stood.
It should have stood.
It came off of Milner. And
I thought there was also a PK that should have been given.
Not in that game. Okay. There was a red card that should have been given out to Virgil.
To Verge. Okay.
I mean, it was real bad.
Resulted in a PK.
No, a free kick in a decent position, but not a
and a man advantage.
Yes, but yeah, the goal should have stood. Even on one of the commentary shows, the mini commentary shows they have on the one of the channels in Britain, they had their head ref guy or whatever former referee they had on. And he was trying to explain why it even if it hit his foot, you have to make – the rule is you have to be making a play on the ball. And
right.
And the guy on the commentary was like, so, yes, and he blocked the ball. So what would you call that? Well, it's not a play on the ball. Yes, but he attempted to play it. To block it. It was just like the entire commentary team ended up just laughing at the guy because it was a stupid reason for it not to have stood.
So the targeting was taken off, is that what I mean?
No.
The targeting stood, okay.
More or less, yeah. Yeah.
Smoke Monday was ejected from the game.
Yeah, Smoke Monday was ejected from the game. Yeah. former Liverpool player would have scored the winner against Liverpool.
But VAR, Liverpool struck again.
Yeah.
And speaking of VAR,
had a bad weekend. Tough weekend.
Good weekend for Auburn's VAR.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Auburn's VAR had an unbelievable weekend with a couple hundred, they had 100 yards of receiving.
Definitely trying to make his quarterbacks look good.
Yeah. Everybody hit a deep ball. Everybody hit a deep ball to VAR. I hit a deep ball to VAR, hit 117 yards, I'm being told. I mean, we're talking...
Yeah, four catches, 117 yards, had one deep ball from each of them.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah, I saw the ball get thrown dozens of yards in the air and then caught by a running receiver on the other end, and I didn't know really what to do with my hands at that point. It hadn't happened in so long in my life.
I'm trying to think, was any receiver... overthrown in this game? I mean, there were some misses for sure.
No.
I can't think of any deep balls that were, you know, just 10 yards past the receiver. Pleasant little surprise.
These guys aren't that fast. You usually need to be like the fastest receiver maybe in the world to get one overthrown. It's counterintuitive. It was 35-7 before the rain. Really, Auburn lost to the rain. You wrote in the show notes it kind of felt like a weird scrimmage. It felt super weird.
Yeah, it was odd thing. The best thing that happened all night was that the Auburn marching band played Seek and Destroy from the album Kill 'Em All by Metallica. which was pretty great. And then
was that part of the halftime show?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was a great halftime show. It was the highlighting the Auburn School of Exploding Dogs. They had the Bomb Dogs out there hunting for Albie in the middle of the halftime show. Well, he was kind of hiding.
Did Albie have a bomb?
Had the scent, I guess.
Okay.
I was too busy singing Seek and Destroy. I didn't even realize there was a further subtext to.
Oh yeah.
I hope they do
that.
They
played before the first song they played in the halftime show was Black Dog.
Yeah, it was
fun one. They did the shape of the dog, and then the dog sat. It was a pretty good halftime show. I was happy with it.
And then they played Tron, the overture after that.
So yeah, they're highlighting the cybersecurity with that. So I think the theme, Crow, if you didn't get the context, is that each halftime show they're going to highlight different programs, you know, at the university.
You're telling me that's the last time I'm going to get to hear Seek and Destroy? That was a great.
I hope not. I hope we get to see all the good boys searching out for Albie in halftime every game.
I hope next week is the journalism school or the College of Liberal Arts. Just the College of Liberal Arts is highlighted next week. Just because they call me enough. Might as well get some recognition.
They need to play the Auburn Observer theme song. We're going to highlight that.
Guys, I can't say it enough, but the game felt weird mainly because Mercer looked like they were wearing uniforms from a Dick's Sporting Goods commercial. The entire game, Adidas makes good stuff. They don't give it to Mercer, it turns out.
I'm sure
Mercer looked like they were wearing
Mercer baseball stuff is awesome.
I'm sure that's much more noticeable on TV than it was from where we were sitting.
Everything looked like it fit weird. The first thought I had was this: they look like they're in a commercial, or like it reminded me of the uniforms from the movie The Waterboy. Like it just kind of like these don't. This isn't like a professional uniform. This looks like this was just found, and it really took away from the experience because the whole time I was thinking like, man, I'm here out here thinking Adidas can do a good job at this, but I don't know anymore. And then Mercer's coach, Coach Chronic. 2001, standing over there wearing a shirt like it came out in 2001 with the one sleeve that was a different color than the rest of the shirt.
Noticed that in the Georgia Tech guys last night as well.
What are we doing?
It must be an Adidas thing this year then, huh? Yep.
Tech's uniforms look great last night.
I can't compare Tech and Navy. But
in comparison to what I watched Mercer trot out there wearing, my gosh, those poor kids. Just legitimately look like they got from the set of like Friday Night Lights or Any Given Sunday. Just got handed the old uniforms. It was bad. What wasn't bad was their little quarterback. I liked him a ton. I thought he was a good player.
Yeah, old Fred Payton. He looked great. I mean, they clearly had a game plan to stay away from Auburn's pass rush, get the ball out quick, roll them around. We heard all, you know, leading into the game that they had beat up on Morehead State with explosive plays, and that didn't really happen here. I mean, the one touchdown they scored early was on a short field after an interception. Just didn't have time to set up any of the big plays, but to their credit, they, you know, hit some intermediate stuff. You took what we gave them, which wasn't a lot. But yeah, didn't really make any mistakes. They look like they'll be a decent FCS team this year.
We got Morehead State. I'd love to see that team. Let's see our offense play against them.
Yeah, if we do some transitive property work, that'd be around what, like 90 something point win?
Yeah.
Mercer, it could have gotten worse. For Mercer, they had four fumbles. I think two of them were on snaps that just weren't handled well, but they recovered all four of them. So I know like a lot of the advanced numbers had projected scoring margins a lot higher than the actual final score just because of the turnover luck for Mercer. They didn't have any turnovers, only took the one sack. They just didn't do a ton, but didn't risk a ton either.
All right. Yeah, I was. I don't think they were as bad as Akron was last year.
Definitely not. They're a lot better than Alabama State too.
Yeah, I know they're a pretty okay little team.
Yep.
Now this rain delay, everyone kept talking about the 09 West Virginia game, but that's 2019 Southern Miss erasure, if you ask me.
Yep, I think that's a better comparison, because West Virginia was the beginning of the game like that.
Right.
It jumped off before everything had started. That Southern Miss game was delayed for about the same amount of time, I think.
It was late for 2 hours.
Okay. Because it was similarly sloppy and just not really a great game.
Yeah, it was in the middle. That was
my wife's first game. That was my wife's first game and only game was that Southern Miss game. We left in the middle of the rain delay.
Trying to think of some of the other more recent rain games. There was obviously the Arkansas game 2014 that opened the SEC Network. That was like a halftime rain delay. And then there was the Samford game a few years ago, and that one was more of just all day messy. That was about as hard as I've seen it rain in Jordan-Hare, what with them still trying to play through it. That Samford game, but yeah, I think the Southern Miss game is probably the best comp there. This one.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time: the roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. And also, similar to that Southern Miss game, it got really weird afterwards.
Yeah,
we got a or Oogle has his hand up.
Southern Miss rain delay was 3 hours.
I knew it was long because so we ended up
even longer.
That was one of the that was one of the only games I left early ever. Was that one?
I ended up doing the same thing for both games. I sat through the delay for a while and then finally gave up, and then they started again.
That makes sense being 3 hours, because I actually sat through an entire Catholic mass and wedding during the rain delay, and it picked back up during the reception.
Oh, man.
We left that game, that Southern Miss game, and ran to the Chick-fil-A, that RIP, the Chick-fil-A on Magnolia.
No RIP.
I mean, it's still there, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it's part of a new apartment complex now.
It's actually
way nicer.
Health code. Anyway.
Yeah, part of all BDI tap and over there. And we sat and waited it out with nuggets. And nice. I still have shoes that are ruined from that day.
You should probably throw them away if they're ruined.
No, they're Vans. I just keep wearing them.
I went back to the tailgate, but my friend had brought his then girlfriend, she may have already been his fiance at the time, but she's a Southern Miss grad there. And so that was a real, real dicey one for him, because it got kind of dicey.
Close for comfort. Yeah.
Yeah. We were watching back at the tailgate. So
unlike that game, this game never got too close for comfort.
No.
Even the mishaps on offense were not enough to make it even feel like
Auburn scored in the first three drives, if I remember correctly, and just kind of put any thought of an upset out of mind. That did a great job running the ball with Tank and Jerquiz. Five touchdowns between the two of them on just 24 carries. Tank probably should have had 200 yards if it wasn't for a penalty that pulled about a 50-yard run back. I was a little concerned with the offensive line not getting a ton of push up the middle. in a lot of these carries. And it was definitely for Tank. It was, I'm better than you and more athletic than anybody in the field, and just kind of making guys miss in open space. May not bode well for SEC opponents, but you know, good to see him look confident and decisive on some of those cuts that he danced around last year. So,
yeah.
He had one of the best runs. The touchdown he had at the end of the rain delay is one of the better runs I've seen an Auburn running back make in a long time. One of the best cuts. The cut he made, his second cut, was as good as, in my opinion, my favorite cut an Auburn running back has made since 2004. May have been the Cameron Artis Payne cut at the goal line in the 2013 SEC Championship game, in which I'd never seen anything like that before. But this cut Tank made was as good as that.
Yep.
I think he cemented himself in my brain. I was like, okay, he's back. Like, we don't have to worry about Tank this year.
Right. Yeah, I think he's on a little bit of a mission to prove that he's better than he showed last year. And
it's contract season, baby.
Yep. He's going to just improve his draft stock this year. If he can keep going for, 9 yards carry like he did against Mercer, we'll all be pretty happy.
If he does that, you know what I'll say right now, I guarantee he wins the Heisman if he averages 9 yards a carry. I would say if he gets 112 yards a game, or just 100 yards a game, 140. If he gets 147 yards and 2 touchdowns a game, I guarantee you Tank Bigsby wins the Heisman Trophy. Because that would be 24 touchdowns on the year.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah. He's on pace for almost 2,000 yards. It's going great. All right.
So how did you feel about the quarterbacks? I mean, we joked about it a little bit already, but I mean, there was legitimately highs and lows for both of them. So
yeah,
let's talk about it a little bit.
TJ came out the gate and was amazing. Like, legitimately, I would have not ever dreamed that he starts the game. What was the 8 for 9?
Yeah, there was an incompletion on the first pass and then hit his next eight.
8 for 9 with a touchdown? That's unbelievable.
Wasn't being asked to do too much, but, I mean, you wouldn't really want to, like, what are we going to do against Mercer? It's not like we're going to.
Yeah, it's not like he was hitting screens and, you know, just little short slants. I mean, he was pushing the ball downfield a little bit.
His arm is strong.
Right.
He shows a lot of zip when he pushes it. When he's able to step into a throw, it's getting where it's going in a hurry.
Which makes that the second interception all the more baffling.
So it's baffling. It really is. Like, wait, I almost want to think he saw the guy halfway through his release.
Yeah, and tried to stop throwing it.
Kind of short armed because like. Because it really is like he didn't underthrow a single ball all night until that one. It's the only underthrown ball he had.
And really, it wasn't a bad decision to throw that ball if he had thrown it a full 2 seconds earlier, which he had. I mean, he could have done. And he wasn't under pressure. I can't remember who the receiver was down there. It might have been Cameron Brown. But he was open until the other safety closed just because it was too late.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was weird off his back foot, no zip on it, and just kind of it was a definition of an arm punt. I mean,
I think it was interesting that Harsin after the game was like, no, he's still the starter. And I think we talked about this last year. One of the things that I actually do like about Harsin is that he doesn't have any sentimentality towards these kids in terms of, he's the starter. I better keep him in the game. No, he's going to pull you and put somebody else. Like,
and I'll say I appreciated that he wasn't he was pretty candid in the post game about what he saw, what he liked, what he didn't like. And he wasn't throwing these guys under the bus like certain other SEC coaches this week. But, I mean, he talked about both the interceptions Finley had, and it was – yeah, one of them was just a poor decision. One of them was poor mechanics. But, you know, still praised him for the way he started the game. And then similarly with Ashford, talk him up on what he did with his feet, with the deep ball, and then still said he had some work to do. So it was, you wouldn't have gotten any of that from like Gus, for example.
Yeah, it's true.
He just told you both of them were standing right around. They look good. Next question.
Yeah, I think we're going to see both quarterbacks play this week. I think we'll see both quarterbacks, at least two quarterbacks, play every game this season.
Right. I think there's not really much that can happen next week, you know, short of injury or just the complete wheels falling off, that would change the depth chart going into Penn State, right? I think TJ is still going to start next weekend against Penn State. You're still going to see Ashford. I did think it was interesting that Ashford, it wasn't a starter and a backup quarterback. It was a two quarterback system for most of the game. They brought Ashford in on like the third play, maybe.
Yeah,
ran a little bit. But it was pretty clear that he wasn't like coming in for a series, or you know, it wasn't a true competition. It was a plan for both of them to play. So I think we'll see that against Penn State, and you know, there'll be a tougher defense, a lot tougher opponent. If there's separation at that point, maybe you make a decision on changing the roles up a little bit. But I don't know. It's, you know, the old saying is, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. But see how long you make this work.
Yeah, I mean, I ride it as long as you have to. I do think that we're going to do this until that third game, and whoever, if one of them looks better in the third game, I think that guy is the starter.
But I'm not convinced that they don't keep playing both of them. Like,
right.
Even if Robbie leads a game-winning drive at the end of the Penn State game, unless TJ's awful, maybe you start Robbie, but you might still play them both. I'm not really sure.
So I don't see the utility of TJ if Robbie is your starter. You're not bringing TJ in to run the ball or
sure.
change of pace. I think if TJ is the starter, Robbie still gets to play. If Robbie's the starter, TJ is probably not going to be coming in. Like, we didn't see, did TJ come back on at all in the second half?
No, after the delay, his last play was the interception.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty much leading.
See, I think that kind of, that's kind of where I'm going with that is if Robbie is the guy that's in, then Robbie's the guy that's in, and you're not going to see TJ. But if TJ's in, then you bring Robbie in to do different things, the things that he can do that TJ can't.
So, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that Harsin was the OC for those horrible Texas offenses that had three, if not four, quarterbacks at times. I think the 2011 or 12, one of them used four quarterbacks, and each one of those, you know, made bowl games and whatever. And those quarterbacks were terrible. Like, some of those guys were like on the team because their older brother was on the team a couple of years earlier. Like, Case McCoy was the starting quarterback for a number of games because Colt McCoy was his brother, and his best receiver was Jackson Shipley because George Shipley was his older brother. Like, it was that kind of team, and Harsin made it work. They threw a lot of touchdowns. They threw, I want to say, they had two different receivers throw a total of four touchdowns that year. I mean, they just had to get the ball in different ways and make things work, and it was him just being creative. And I think you saw a little bit of that Saturday. I think it was nine different guys carried the ball. There's nine different rushes.
I don't know if it was. I think it was theirs. Well, let's see. Yeah, Tank Bigsby with 16 carries. Jarquez Hunter was eight. Robbie with six. Demario Elston with four. Var with two. TJ Finley with two. Coy Moore with one. Dawson and Malcolm Johnson Jr. each had one.
Yeah, nine dudes. Nine dudes carried the ball. That's a lot. Like, yep. I know. And if you take away like TJ, whose carries weren't design runs,
yeah,
that's still eight guys. And I think that's just a creative mentality. It's a mentality of, I don't have sentimentality of I've got to make sure I give so-and-so X carries.
Well,
it's
well, and we saw get
the ball across.
Arguably the most creative play an Auburn offense has run in, what, 8 years?
Since like well, that didn't 14? Involve a punter lining up at receiver.
Sure, sure. I would say truly offensive play with Robbie lining up in the slot, TJ taking the snap, and then it was a true handoff. I don't think there was a read there or anything. But then, you know, Robbie coming around and then running the option. I didn't fully process what that play was while I was watching it. And, you know, I knew it was a weird option thing with the receiver, but I didn't realize it was, I guess, a two quarterback thing immediately.
They teased a formation earlier and didn't want to play out of it. And I think it was like at the end of the first quarter or something. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong on this, in which Robbie and TJ were on the field at the same time. And I remember saying something in the Slack, like, I think they just teased a two quarterback on the field at the same time formation. And then they ran that. And I want to think that that's just them putting that on film. They're like, yeah, we're going to do this year. Running two quarterbacks.
It's something you've got to be aware of. I'm sure there are probably two or three more plays out of that package that they're going to try and get a look for. You know, maybe one of them is a pass. Maybe one of them is just a dive for TJ Finley. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that gets leveraged again. And we'll look back at the Mercer game for where that came from.
Yeah. I think I'm interested to see how that evolves. And this week, we go back home to the friendly confines of Jordan-Hare Stadium and take on the San Jose Spartans of San Jose, California. They make the long drive or flight, I'm assuming, over to get beat. That is a lot of time in a lot of miles on Delta to walk head home with a loss.
Do we want to play a little Does Crow Know over under? I enjoyed Always. That last week, so let's run it back a little bit. All right. What year did San Jose State play their first football game? Over under 1905, the under being before 1905 and the over being after.
The over being after?
Right.
Over.
Chief, you want to weigh in here?
So is Chief saying yes or no? Like, yes, Crow knows, no, Crow doesn't know.
I don't know. It gets a little complicated, but.
I think it's the over as well.
Yeah, so for context, Auburn played their first game in 1892, and San Jose State University played their first game in 1893.
Whoa!
It's 1 year later.
I didn't even know that the railroad had gotten there yet.
Wow. Unbelievable.
How'd they even hear about it?
If I remember correctly, Red Dead Redemption 2 took place in 1899, so this was 6 years before that.
Interesting. I want to know.
Arthur Morgan could have been a fullback on the San Jose State team.
Was this just a bunch of like old prospectors playing? I'm assuming California was back then.
Yeah, this is Northern California, right? So this
the Bay Area.
Yeah. Bay Area. It's the South Bay, right? I don't know. Were the Sharks there yet?
It's a good question. I don't think the Sharks were there until the 90s.
Yes, because they were an expansion team, I believe, weren't they?
And they were part of that teal movement where
every team,
no matter what, every kid had a hat of one of the teal teams. And I had a Hornets hat and a Sharks hat.
And the Ducks, instead of being their green and yellow, remember, had that teal instead.
Teal and purple, because that was just like the colors. I'm getting word that the Sharks were created in 1991.
Yep, they were an expansion team, so there we go. I know my NHL.
I think we need to bring teal back. Maybe Auburn can have a teal back day for basketball. Ryan doesn't remember the Charlotte Bobcats, much less the...
Yeah, right.
I think I had a pencil from the dentist that was a Charlotte Bobcats pencil.
All right. Next question.
Pencil from the dentist.
Question number two. How many first-round draft picks has San Jose State had? Over, under, 3.5?
Now, did they have the punter that may have?
No, that was San Diego State.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah, so remember last week we talked about Mercer and how many draft picks they had ever had, and it was zero ever. So yeah, San Jose State, you know, at least an FBS program and been around a little longer. Maybe they've had some more. I'll tell you, they have had a lot of draft picks.
I'm taking,
talking about first rounders here.
Taking the, oh, this is first rounders?
Just first rounders. They've
I'm had, going under.
First rounders, 3.5. Yikes. I'm going to take the under at 3.
Man, y'all are struggling right now. It is over with 6.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. I don't know any of
been
them.
Been a while. I know it should have made sense because they have been around for forever. Yeah.
So 6 first round draft picks, one in each year between 75 and 77, and then again from 81 to 83.
Dominant. The dominant Spartans of San
Jose. Yeah, had a nice little run there in the late 70s, early 80s. All right, guys. How many times have Auburn and San Jose State played over under 1.5?
Well, I think I remember them playing.
Over.
So I'm going to say over.
She's pretty confidently over.
Yeah, I think this is our third time playing them.
It is our third time playing them.
Yep.
Auburn actually played back-to-back years in 2014 and 15.
Yep. I remember that.
All right, and speaking of those two games, how many points has San Jose State scored against Auburn all time? Remember last week we said Mercer had scored just 21 points over 12 games. I'm going to set the over-under at 31.5 in the two
games.
Was
San Jose State that game we almost lost in 15?
I believe that would be the Jacksonville State game.
That was Jacksonville State. I'm taking the...
We almost lost a lot of games, guys. Oh, that was that game.
Okay.
I'm going to say they've scored over that. Hey.
Do we want to do a phone a friend here? If you want to, you know, call one James Jones on the pod,
No. He can give us the answer after we.
It's over. It's over 31, and I'm confident that we almost lost to him in 2015.
Chief, what are you going with?
I'm taking the under.
Do you know the answer here, bud?
It's over.
Do you know the exact number? I think you probably do.
I cheated. I looked it up.
Okay.
I remember none of the 2015 game.
I
don't remember it at all.
34 points. Auburn won the 14 matchup 59-13 and the 15 matchup 35-21.
I was leaning over.
Two-score game.
Just because I knew that none of those Gus Malzahn teams ever shut anybody out or held anybody under.
But listen, okay. 35-21. If we come back here next week and we've beaten San Jose State 35-21, sky is falling. We'll be on here going, all right, too close for comfort.
Yeah, with 5.5 minutes to go in the game, it was a 7-point game.
Yeah, I remember being like, what is happening? We're going to lose San Jose State.
Oh, and then we turned around and almost lost to Jacksonville State. Actually, it was San Jose State later in the year.
This was later.
It was the
first weekend in October. This was after we lost to Mississippi State.
So let's make this a little more fun. I didn't have this one planned. Looking at the stats for this game, Peyton Barber, pretty good day. 28 carries for 147 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Sheesh.
But through the air, we had Sean White run of the offense.
White Sean.
He, on completing six of 10 attempts, how many yards did he have? Over, under 125?
Oh, under, because that dude was captain checked out.
He did some pretty sick 960s in the half pipe, though.
He did.
What if I give you over, under 80 yards?
I still think under. It wouldn't shock me if you told me he had
80 yards?
80 yards. I'll give you 80 yards. Over, under.
Under.
He had 108. 6 of 10 for 108 yards. Look, 10.8 yards per attempt. No picks. You know, managing the offense.
Yeah, really.
It was not our best game.
So you used to be a person who worked for this website who tried to make this case that Sean White should start over Jarrett Stidham.
A little spicy Sean White.
How did How did Gus survive 2015?
Because
we were in the national title game
less than 2 years prior. And 2014 was kind of fun, even though it was a disappointment.
Yeah, but we lost some games just solely placed right on the coaching staff shoulders that year too.
I mean, 2014 Iron Bowl is the most important loss in Auburn history, I think, because I think Saban would have retired.
If the Mississippi
13 and 14.
The Mississippi State game was awful. Like,
I'm being told we have the number one S&P Plus offense in the country in 2014. You can't fire that guy.
Well, yeah, but what was it in 2015?
Because 2015, it was, we were a great team. They had really good defense, and it was just solely all the blame put on Jeremy Johnson, really.
Right. Jeremy Johnson died for everybody's sins in 2015.
2015 was rough. Anyway.
All right. Last question.
I've never been more excited about a season, maybe, in 2015. We were going to wear orange cleats. We had Jeremy Johnson. It was going to be great.
The Georgia safety who had tipped the ball to us in 2013 had transferred in. Carl Lawson was healthy, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, that Louisville game was a lot of hope.
Yeah. Over under 0.5 wins versus SEC teams all time for your San Jose State Spartans.
Half a win?
Just tell me if they've had one.
No. Wait, all time?
Yes.
All time.
They've been playing for 100 years? Yes, they've had one win.
Let me give you a little more detail before we lock in the answers.
They have
played 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 games versus the SEC all time. Two of them are losses to Auburn. Okay. This will be number 8.
They played Vanderbilt. Let's see.
They have not played Vanderbilt.
Oh, man.
No easy one there.
Did they beat Tulane?
No. These are current SEC teams.
Oh, drag. Okay.
I'll go ahead and tell you there.
Now 0-1
versus Alabama. 0-2 versus Auburn.
Now I don't think
it's 4 games. No, they have. They have.
Oh, you know what? No, I remember this game. Yes, they have one. They have one.
Okay, you're gonna lock in with over.
I'm Chief, locking in.
Chief, what about you?
Yeah, 1.
For a bonus point,
I'm
sure they beat. You're correct. Missouri. It's over.
It was Missouri, wasn't it?
Chief.
This
game was a lot more recent than you're gonna remember.
Mississippi State.
Arkansas.
Oh,
2019 Arkansas.
Why did I think it was Missouri?
Beat the Hogs.
Yes. But I had it.
The Hogs 31-24 in 2019 against old friend Chad Morris. And yikes. This was a game that Arkansas fought tooth and nail just to get back in. They were down 24-7 at one point, tied it up, and then San Jose State just walked right down and punched it in for the win with a minute to go.
Yeah.
Let's not repeat that one, huh?
No. They got Hawaii's old quarterback, though.
Yeah, that's all I've got in the over-under, so you can actually talk about the team.
They got Hawaii's old quarterback, which is tough because as a low-key casual Hawaii Rainbow Warrior fan, it's tough to root against former heroes like Chevin Cordero.
Yeah, I really... I'm with Crow. If we struggle with these guys like that 2015 team did, then it's probably just go ahead and hang it up.
What's the Vegas? What's the line on this game?
I want to say it's like 32 ish or so.
Act like you don't know.
His mom listens. He doesn't want her to know. He knows.
My accountant does listen. You're right.
I actually don't know yet. I don't look until Tuesday.
Tell you what, I did actually look.
Today is Tuesday.
It's not
your day behind.
Tuesday, it's different.
Tomorrow is Labor Day Tuesday. This is Labor Day Monday, right?
Don't throw me off. I'll be trying to watch the game on Sunday.
23.
All right, I had the numbers backwards.
Oh, okay.
That makes lower sense. Than I was. Because against Mercer, it was, I think Mercer was 30 and a half. So, yeah, that makes sense.
23. Boy.
a $24 bet on your Auburn Tigers will win you one to win will win you $1.
Oh,
might be worth it.
Yeah, that seems like
yeah, good. If you bet $96, you win $4, so the payout's $100.
That's how, a good how, use of $96.
How much of that is you got to pay back in tax after for your winnings?
Got to do this offshore, too. Come on, now.
It's no, so you, low that it wouldn't matter anyway.
You win so $4 and then immediately go to McDonald's and get breakfast. It's gone.
So the San Jose team is 1-0. They won their first game.
Who'd they play?
They really should not have. They beat Portland State 21-17 on
a team that has beaten Mike Leach. A team that has beaten Mike Leach.
Sure. They were outgained by over 100 yards in this game. Sacked 7 times. They only carried the ball for 2.7 yards a carry with their running backs. Auburn's defensive line should feast in this one, where they couldn't quite get home against the Mercer quarterback. They should this time. They're 106th in SP Plus, 103rd in Sagarin, and I think 125th in offensive SP Plus. Just didn't have much going for them in week one. I think their win expectancy in that game was like 43%, or it was definitely less than 50. They should not have won that game.
Wow.
Portland State beat Mike Leach when he was at Washington State.
It's been a little while now.
But still, I just want everybody to remember that there are still Auburn fans who are like, man, we should have had Mike Leach. And by Auburn, I mean, there are still idiots who think that that would have been the hire to make. And guys, that is a guy who lost to Portland State. And would have lost to some, like, every year I feel like he loses to somebody like that.
Yeah, he'll lose a bad one.
This year he might lose to LSU.
He also lost to Eastern Washington, I'm being told.
Yeah, he'll lose to somebody like that and then beat somebody that he has no business beating. That's the
yeah,
hot and cold of Mike Leach.
But he says funny things at press conferences.
He likes Pirates.
And likes Pirates. And tweets unhinged political things, and everyone just likes him. Yeah, I think Auburn's going to win. We haven't told people the thing they came to the podcast to listen to.
Yeah, when's this game kick off?
It kicks off at 6:30.
Okay. I was going to say under 5 o'clock. But,
you know. Oh, well, I know the answer to this. It's 6:30 p.m. Now, Ryan, do you know what network?
I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say SEC Network.
That is correct. It's going to be on the SEC Network. But all I right. think, but I think it's going
I
to be.
I thought it might be primetime ABC, but yeah.
Yeah. Kirk Herbstreit's coming into this game. It's going to be on ESPN Plus as well, I believe. So I think it's one of those similar to last week's game where if you have ESPN Plus, don't worry about it. Don't worry about getting cable for this week. It's on ESPN U.
Oh, ESPN wow. Miami, I think is what he was saying.
Miami
U. Which is a network that I forget exists every year until college football season comes around.
The only good ESPN network no longer exists. Classic. The only good one.
Yeah, man.
That's where
tickets for this game are available still for the low price of $7. So if you would like to go to the Auburn San Jose State game on Vivid Seats, you may get a ticket for $7.
Let me let you save your money. You could probably find some people giving them away outside the stadium this time around.
Actually, I know somebody on the College Mag Network who has a few. So
yeah,
reach out. Tell you what, let's make a deal with the listeners. If you go and leave us a 5-star review, we might
screenshot
accept. We might accept a bribe to make a little deal.
Yeah, tickets. We'll help you find a ticket or two.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
And we'll invite you to the tailgate.
And maybe a parking pass. Who knows?
Wow.
We got to email us and let us know.
Begging for that 5-star review.
Like and subscribe.
Did we get any reviews?
I don't know. I haven't checked. All right. You guys, anything else you want to talk about? Besides Ed Orgeron going on wax and saying that he is fine never coaching again because he got paid $17 million to not coach by LSU, his dream job.
That's my dream job too.
Bro, I'm telling you, everybody's like, oh, give him to that. I can't believe he didn't say that.
I mean, he's clearly not as successful as one Gus Malzahn, though. Got that $20 million check.
And then just
that's true.
Keeps getting checks from Disneyland space program.
Crazy. I don't really have much else to talk about. Did we get any? Has there been any basketball news this week? Do we know? I haven't seen much.
Former Auburn. I think we
may have a schedule coming out soon. Typically SEC schedule drops like first 2 weeks of September or so. And we're about done with the first one. So keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Former Auburn recruit Scoot Henderson is playing an exhibition match against Victor Wembanyama, presumptive number one overall pick in the next year's draft. I couldn't make out if this game is going to be taking place outside of Las Vegas or outside in Las Vegas. So stay tuned. They might be playing outside. Who knows? Outside of Las Vegas seems equally implausible. Where? In the desert? Like, there's not a basketball gym outside of Las Vegas. Reno?
Hey, can we go back to this week's game? I don't think we mentioned this guy, Ekwu Liotta.
Okay, cool. This past week's game or the upcoming game?
Yeah, the past week's game. He had a just incredible game. Great game.
Shout out to Ekwu Liotta.
I mean, I think Cam Riley was really the MVP.
Yeah, he was the star. But
15 tackles.
Yeah, well, for sure. We didn't mention him either. But
anytime you can break your career numbers in one game, it's usually a pretty good night.
He's
tackles going into the night and 15 on Saturday.
Of all the guys on the team, he's the one on track to win the Heisman currently.
Yeah, if he gets 15 tackles a game. Junior Seau.
Yeah, right.
Ryan, Junior Seau was a American football linebacker, played for
San
Diego Chargers. Rest in peace. That's all you need to know. He went number 55. He went to Southern Cal. He was awesome.
Yeah, he was pretty incredible. But you have no idea who Junior Seau is?
I do. I'm multitasking at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I had two jerseys that were non-Cowboys as a kid. One was Junior Seau, and the other was Mike Allstott.
Didn't the Cowboys beat Junior in a Super Bowl?
No, we never played the Chargers.
Okay. He was in a...
He got beat by Brett Favre.
That's right.
No. Favre beat the Pats?
Favre beat the Patriots, lost to the Broncos. Junior Seau and the Chargers lost to the 49ers.
That's right.
Steve Young 49ers. All right.
So hopefully we're more accurate.
True and on.
Orange and true and on. You guys, what are your score predictions for this week's game? Chief, we're going to win? I don't actually care about the scores. What do you think? You think we're going to win?
Definite W this week.
Ryan?
They're going to cover.
I think we're going to win, too. That's three.
Okay.
And all three hosts.
Just as important, the Braves will be in first place next time you hear from us.
All right. Well, that's it for us.
I was going to ask about that.
And
the Mets lost 8-2 to the Pirates. Braves are up 9-5 to the A's. Hopefully the bullpen holds on.
That's enough Mets talk.
9-5 on the podcast. The game did only start about an hour ago.
And I'd like you to never mention the Pittsburgh Pirates again on this podcast. And,
hey, they have great uniforms, Crow. They have great uniforms. They have a great ballpark.
Can we plug some Dolly on the 9-5 score here?
You guys, I love you. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Keep on counting.
Are we keep?